The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's great to be alive. It's great to be American and alive. What a time
of year. That's right.
Sweet 16, Major League Baseball.
Rock Flag Eagle.
What a country. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I didn't really plan on going patriotic.
No, I liked it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It just came out of my soul. I tapped my soul, and that's what came out. What a show on Friday. Do I even have to say it at the top as to what a great show we have on Friday? Dr. Bob will join us with his college basketball plays tonight. Sweet 16, the pioneer of predictive modeling in sports betting. Dr. Bob will join us here this hour, as will Chris Felica, Steve Fezzik. Fezzik has so many topics to talk about. With a sports betting wise that have got his goat, one of the many meanings of the word goat that we use, got his goat. Do people still say that?
No, nobody.
And then then we transition also, not only college basketball, but Adam Burke will go college basketball and baseball with us, VSiN managing editor. And in moments, Jensen Lewis will stick around, right? He's taking like a bathroom break here.
Yep.
He will stick around and we will
redo
talk.
The makeup.
That's right. And we will talk Major League Baseball. And you know how people are like, okay, you don't want to overreact to day one? I want Jensen to overreact to day one. That's my whole point. Right.
Well, I already told you, we were sitting there watching the games last night. Marlins, White Sox, World Series exacta in the account. Let's go.
Yeah. Well,
playing. Don't bet that.
I'll have a question for him regarding that. Hey, VSiN bracket challenge. Let me just start with this. Kelly, I'm trying to call up the standings here, Kelly. First of all, in the main standings, the one that actually counts for listeners, grand prize $3,000, second prize $1,500, third $500. Now, it's the middle of the Sweet 16, so we can't really square the standings yet because you get four picks over the 2 days, Thursday and Friday. So some people have played four, some have played zero, some played three, two, one, you get it. So the standings aren't square, but Brandon Sigg right now, first three letters, last name. In the lead, 26-7-0. But that'll change, perhaps, after
Say
today.
Say the record again.
26-7-0.
Jeez.
Yeah, man. These are also, by the way, staggered scoring, right? So it's 1 point for the first round, 2 points for the second round, 4 points for the Sweet 16. And even still, 26-7-0, that kind of trumps all of that because you're like, you're still going 26-7-0 over all of it.
I love when we do things like this, right? Because when you look at the top, right, you say 26-7-0, you're like, man, I hope you're betting every one of these. But yep. Then you look at the bottom and it's like, I hope you're not betting all these.
Now, the VSiN standings, which is the VSiN employees, hosts included, all in there, right? Our buddy Miles Gwynn behind the scenes. What is Miles these days? Is he COO, Emperor? What is he? What is his title?
I believe that's exactly
it.
Yeah, I believe
Miles, 21-11-1. Miles currently in the lead. Again, halfway through the Sweet 16. This is subject to change. Kelly Bidlin tied for sixth.
Plummeted after I didn't play the two late games yesterday.
Well, yeah.
I'd risen to second.
You had. Kelly Bidlin in sixth. Yours truly in 17th. Kelly Bidlin in sixth. If Duke had covered, you and me would have been probably like tied for fourth or something.
Still got two alive in this round, though.
All right, you're sixth. I'm 17th.
Still only 16-15-1, though. Well, dude, I thought my record was better.
You don't want to know my record, and I'm in 17th. 14-18-1, but I do that clever thing where I got better as the tournament went on. So I'm the sneaky freaky brother sneaking in from the rear.
That's all that matters. We were just talking about it in the back, me and the crew.
I'm gaming the game.
It's a great contest because even if you do forget a day or something like this, Gil, like you can, if you forgot a day early in the early rounds, you can still make up ground because the points are worse.
Kelly, I lost eight in a row.
Yeah.
I lost eight games in a row and I'm still trying to win this thing. What I say last time, I go, clearly I'm the man to beat.
There's also some rumoring going on amongst the crew of, you know, should members of management ownership, you know, really be able to be up there.
Oh,
in the standings.
Sure they should.
I think they should too.
Just so they can hold it over our heads also.
Yeah.
As far as the basketball last night, I mean, we finally got our classic. That's for sure. Arkansas and Texas Tech. What a ball game that turned out to be. We finally got just a truly awesome basketball game and kind of out of nowhere, right? Because Arkansas was winning this game as a 10 seed, the only remaining double digit seed. They were winning it by 16 with the at the 10-minute mark of this game, winning by 16 at the 10-minute mark. Then Texas Tech rallied, but Arkansas got it back up to 13 with under 5 minutes to play. Got it back up to 13, and then the run for Texas Tech down the stretch that ultimately forced overtime, and the Red Raiders win it in OT 85-83, which means that my Elite Eight among, you know, mine among millions, still remain intact. It's amazing. I've never had an Elite Eight intact ever in my life. That's this wild. Year, it just keeps getting through. But I just want to say this about the game. Now, Kelly and I, along with Michael Montesano and Carl Sack, we were watching at a sports book, so you don't get the audio for every game. And I was mentioning this. Will had me on his podcast. Will Hill was kind enough to have me on his podcast yesterday. This should have been more pod. And I mentioned this with him. So we had the audio for the Duke-Arizona game. And by the way, Duke scores 100 points and doesn't cover against Arkansas. Would you tell me they have 100 points?
Yeah.
All day long, I'm telling you they're covering. But they didn't. They couldn't stop Arizona from scoring. So we're getting the audio of the Duke-Arizona game on the big screen as that game's winding down while Arkansas-Texas Tech is playing in the smaller TV. They eventually switch to it for overtime. But it gets down, so they bring the lead back up to 13, Arkansas does, under the five-minute mark. Texas Tech rallies. They get it within three. And under the two-minute mark, Arkansas gets a three-pointer to push it back up to six. Texas Tech misses a shot, and Arkansas has the ball up six. And so we don't have the audio on this, so I'm just asking the listeners, as I asked Will, and I'll tell you what Will's response was. I go, but to me, the biggest moment of this game happened at this point. Arkansas misses a shot. Jonnell Davis gets the rebound for Arkansas, and a tie-up is called. Right, the ball might have been tied up in his hands on the rebound for a split second.
Yeah.
Usually they let it go a beat or two of a tie-up before they blow the whistle. These refs, it was such a quick whistle. They go to the possession arrow. It's Texas Tech's. They hit a three immediately, and you know the rest. They get a three eventually to tie it and force overtime, win the game. But I didn't have the audio. We didn't have the audio. I said this to Will. Will was nodding his head and he was smiling. He goes, you know what? Usually Stan Van Gundy notices or mentions something. He's usually good about all these little nuances. And he didn't say anything. To me, just watching on the second screen, that was the biggest moment of the game because that was an awfully quick whistle. And that changed everything.
Yeah.
Changed everything down the stretch.
It was huge. Stan's probably like me watching some of these games where you're like, I don't know what, like the NBA equivalent would not be the same as what happens with college basketball. They'd let them rip at it for a while before they'd call a jump ball. Also, why can't we just do a jump ball? I hate the possession arrow so much.
Moves the game along.
I know.
Moves the game along. By the way, when I was a kid, they did the jump ball way, way, way back in the day before they invented such a thing as a possession arrow. Alabama, you know, just absolutely 25 three-pointers made. They set the record in their game, the all-time tournament record for three-pointers made. Montesano asked me, he goes, guess whose record they've shattered? And I said, give me one hit. He said the 90s. I go, oh, Loyola Marymount had to be. Loyola Marymount, I think, scored like 140 in one game. And Alabama just destroys that three-point record as they crush BYU, 113-88. If you throw in Duke having to stave off Arizona last night as something, Alabama's had actually the easiest road into the Elite Eight of the teams that have gotten there from last night. Robert Morris gave them the toughest game. So Alabama advances as well. And then the other one,
I'm still trying to figure out, Gil, what we saw in the beginning of that game, though. Me and you were joking about the 2-foot passes BYU is getting right under the rim effective.
Like, Alabama kept losing a defender underneath. What are we doing?
That part's still a concern with them going forward. But that offense, man, when it's on, it's on.
And no whistles, so it was just free flow, free gym, you know, as they used to say in elementary school. Free gym, everybody, for Alabama. But I do want to talk about Maryland for a second also, because I have a bunch of Maryland friends, Florida beating Maryland by 16. Remember my whole handicap, and I think a lot of people's handicap, for those of us who had Florida minus the points yesterday, was, look, it's the Crab Five. At some point, you're going to get worn out, and Florida's going to pull away. That's exactly what happened yesterday, right? Maryland played with them in the first half. Florida blew it open in the second. And it's so funny because all my Maryland fan friends, literally I could have gone 4-3-2-1 right after the game and predicted I was going to get a Kevin Willard text. And of course I did for my buddy who's like, oh, Kevin Willard, they were totally unprepared. Like completely putting blame on Willard because of all this, you know, all this stuff about Willard going to Villanova, and Maryland fans, justifiably in some cases, they hate him. I get it. But this was not because Kevin Willard had them unprepared. You know, oh, they didn't come out in the second half. No, it's exactly what the handicap was. Florida, literally, Maryland had three guys who scored their first 30 points, and their entire output of 71 was scored by four guys. That's Maryland. You're not going to beat Florida in the end doing that. So I get it. You hate Kevin Willard, but the loss is not on Willard. The other thing I want to just say, and this is off the game itself, but it's driving me crazy in mainstream media and also just Maryland fans talking, or just general fans talking about Willard, because it's easy to pile on Kevin Willard speculated to go to Villanova to be their head coach. Everybody's, you know, I keep trying to get at this. People give me the reason. Why is Villanova a better job than Maryland, right? It's a valid question that people should ask, but people should also try to get to the reason. Valid answers that do not cover the subject are, oh, well, Villanova has a more storied history. Okay, that's not a reason to take the job. Willard being from that part of the country is a more valid reason than Villanova being a storied job. My whole thing to my Maryland fans and to some of the mainstream medias that don't flesh it out is okay, please explain again, wasn't Maryland's, first of all, is a Big Ten school. You're leaving a Big Ten school to go to Villanova? Maryland is supposed to have all that Under Armour money, right? What happened to all that Under Armour money? By the way, they say, oh, he's not happy with the way he's being treated at Maryland. They offered him one of the top 10 contracts in college basketball as a coach. So it's not that either. The point that no one's making is, and this is a new thing with NIL that people have to seize on, there is going to be a salary cap at some point, and it could be as early as next year. And the reason Villanova is a better job is because Maryland, it's not about your program, it's about the athletic department. And Maryland basketball has to deal with Maryland football and Maryland's women hoops, whereas at Villanova, men's basketball doesn't have to deal with any of that. Coming back, Jensen Lewis on Baseball Numbers Game, coming up.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa. Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby is live today. And every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown with key Derby prep races this weekend, we're breaking down the top contenders for this year's Run for the Roses. Join experts Patrick Maher and Aaron Halterman today at 2:15 p.m. Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel at VSiN Live for expert analysis and insights. Don't miss it. VSiN at the track, streaming live 2:15 p.m. Eastern as we count down to the Triple Crown. And yeah. If only we had someone to talk horses with us.
If only. New horse racing show at VSiN, though. Check it out.
Yeah, man.
This is Mike Somich, usually regularly part of it going forward. I believe he's somewhere on a beach in the Caribbean this week, so good for him. But, yeah.
Before we get to Chris Valica, talk horses. By the way, we talked about this last week, too, with the new horse racing show. David Shalif, first of all, Jamie Leva has a picture of you in that needing a booster seat. He says, nice power move, Gil. Can someone get Kelly a booster seat? David Shalifor, yo, why do I think Chris Valica would never sleep in? Let's go. He wouldn't. Valica's with us. But Kevin Ryan goes, Gil, did Bob really oversleep or did his face melt off? You know, I can't feel my face when I'm with you. You know that story. Jack Larkin from Sport Trade, he goes, Bob, pioneer, legend, now sleeper. People enjoying Bob sleeping in. Chris Valica, you're right. Chris Valica would never sleep in. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter very cleverly at Chris Valica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. What's happening, man?
Not the heck of a lot. I would never like sleep in and miss a segment or a hit or anything like that, but I've had a tendency to sleep in. Actually, yesterday, as a matter of fact. See, our cats, one of them likes to like wake you up in the middle of the night and like walk on your chest or back as you're sleeping, and so I like then you're up for a while. So yeah, I literally woke up. I woke up yesterday morning like it's 7, and then I went back to bed. And I actually woke up like 10:30, so I missed the start of your show yesterday. But I'll sleep in every now and then if I got nothing going on. But yeah, I would never oversleep and miss a fine experience here on our numbers.
Unacceptable, like, but we'll allow it this one.
I feel like the mandatory follow up question whenever I hear someone say cats is how many cats.
We have two, but only one of them is like the nocturnal. Oh, I brought you a toy. I'm gonna walk on you right now.
Valica and Dr. Bob, both cats guys.
Really?
Two cats per guy.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm pro animal. I'm cat, dog, you name it. I like animals more than I do people.
They're better. Yeah,
they're better. They're better. Better species. Okay, we have a lot to get to, and we just talked about horse racing. This is a monster horse racing weekend. That includes, which you'll run up to here, but you have a few bets, one of which involves a Derby favorite of yours, too. Let's start with what you got here.
Yeah, it was the horse that we were talking about weeks ago before he'd even run, Cornucopian, the Bob Baffert three-year-old colt who broke his maiden in his first race at Oaklawn last February, or a little over a month ago. But his figure sheet-wise in his debut was better than Curlin, better than Justify, and we know the types of horses that those two went on to be. He is the 7-5 morning line favorite in the Arkansas Derby. He drew an outside post that he should be able to kind of break as he wants, either on top or just off of any other potential speed in the race. But I think he's the fastest horse in the race. I think he goes on. If you can bet him at 7-5 fixed odds in the Arkansas Derby tomorrow, I would do that. The 50s and 60-1s that we were talking about weeks ago are now gone, obviously, in the Derby pool. I believe he is still around 12-1 or so at William Hill Caesars. So I would suggest a bet on that only because if he does win tomorrow and he makes the gate in the Derby, he's going to be 9-2, somewhere right around there. Maybe he won't win the Derby, but again, you're going to give yourself a position to be able to play some other horses in the race and knowing that you've got a hell of a better price than Cornucopian.
Let me just repeat that. So Chris loves Cornucopian to win the Kentucky Derby, 12-1 now, not as good as what he had it, but 12-1 now, but he races in the Arkansas Derby tomorrow.
Right.
And in the event that Cornucopian wins the Arkansas Derby, you ain't going to get near that price. So if you want to bet Cornucopian for the Kentucky Derby, bet him now, bet him before this race tomorrow. Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
What are the other two you got?
The Fantasy Stakes at Oaklawn, which is the filly, the big three-year-old fillies race at Oaklawn tomorrow before the Kentucky Oaks. I think the number one horse, Take Charge Milady, for Kenny McPeak is interesting. Jockey change going from Julian Lepereux to Brian Hernandez. Remember, Brian Hernandez is the jockey that McPeak used last year in the Kentucky Oaks to win that race with Torpedo Anna. Used Brian Hernandez Jr. in the Kentucky Derby to win that race as well. So I think we're looking at a similar type situation here. He's got his main man on. The last race on the Honeybee here at this track, total throwout, never in it. Steady at the start, never traffic all the way around. It was 4-1 in that race, and the winner in that race, Quiet Side, was like 10 or 11-1. So Take Charge Milady was higher thought of going into that race than the ultimate winner of that race was. Take Charge Milady breaks from the rail, good price. I think that's a horse that you want to use there. And then the Florida Derby at Gulfstream tomorrow, they're obviously their big race. I think there's a lot of speed in this race. I think you're going to see a horse like Disruptor go to the front. Neoquos is going to go to the front. Madigan Road is probably going to be near the front. Tappan Street maybe will be near the front. But I think the number of six horse, Jimmy's Dailies, is someone that you might want to take a look at 12-1. Broke made it 7 furlongs, two starts back, sat off the pace, and ultimately drew off and beat a really nice horse, Disruptor, who's also in the Florida Derby here. First race versus winners, there really wasn't much speed in the race. So they went to the front, didn't necessarily go well. Finished a beaten second, but well clear of the third place horse. Jimmy Staley's not going to have to go to the front here with Joel Rosario on this horse's back. I think this horse sits off the lead, and I think Jimmy Staley's at 12-1 is a must use, at least at the minimum in the exotics.
Okay, watch this transition, Kelly. Soccer, go.
I'm not going to get too in the weeds here because I know we probably want to talk some hoops as well. And look, I know betting parlays is not the way to go, but I threw together four-legged parlay here in soccer for tomorrow. Under 1.5 team goals for each of these teams. It's just a little insurance, being that maybe you get a blowout in a couple of these games because you got some league leaders involved against bottom-level teams that don't get relegated. So a lot of times maybe you get a late goal when teams kind of are up 3 or 4-0, so this is minus 145. You've got Swansea under 1.5 at Leeds. This is English Championship. Leeds is atop the table. Swansea's kind of in the middle there. Leeds does not allow a ton of goals at home. They need the 3 points that they should get by Swansea. Lincoln under 1.5 at Wickham. This is England League One. Wickham, we talked about last week, I believe. They're in the midst of trying to get automatic promotion from League One to the championship. Lincoln's kind of going nowhere this year. Wickham will probably do a good job defensively at home as well. Back to the championship, Burnley, J.J. Watt's team. Again, they're in the mix for automatic promotion in the championship. They go back up to the Prem. I would expect them to, this would be a lower scoring game as well. So Bristol City under a goal and a half team total at Burnley. And then in La Liga, Valladolid, the bottom level, the bottom team in the in La Liga right now, they're going down. One of the worst teams in the league, Real Sociedad, a pretty good defensive team. They went through a kind of a lull where they really struggled. They played a little bit better lately, but they're a team, I think they've allowed 10 goals all season at home. I wouldn't expect Valladolid to score two. So under 1.5, Valladolid, Bristol City, Lincoln, Swansea, all under 1.5, all road teams, minus 145.
Wow, a massive parlay against human achievement.
Exactly. I'm sorry. Is what that is. I felt a little dirty giving out a parlay, but I you know what? A little entertainment value early on a Saturday morning.
That's all right. All right, Sweet 16 tonight, obviously Michigan, Auburn, and Mississippi, Michigan State in the South region in Atlanta, and then Purdue, Houston, Kentucky, Tennessee in the Midwest in Indianapolis. You have a play in the Michigan-Auburn game. How are you playing this?
Yeah, I played Auburn's team total over 81.5. I don't want to lay the 9, nor do I really want to take it. We've seen for the most part the favorites kind of covering easily. I know Duke kind of got backdoored a little bit yesterday, and then Arkansas was the dog that covered easily as well. But I played over 81.5 for Auburn on their team total. I think Michigan is going to have a little bit of trouble defending Auburn. I think Wolf is a matchup problem on the defensive end. I think Vlad Golden is someone who can get into foul trouble. I think we're going to see a parade to the free throw line. I think we're going to see Michigan knock down a bunch of shots. This game feels like it could be in that foul zone mode late, which I would think would lead to Auburn knocking down some free throws late as well. So, yeah, over 81.5 Auburn team total.
All right, and speaking of that Midwest regional, you are making a bet on Houston to win it?
Yeah, I bet Houston before the tournament. I've added more to win this region, minus 115, I think is the best price right now. It's the best price that I have access to in Connecticut. I think they blow Purdue out, and I think they are just much better than Kentucky or Tennessee on Sunday. So Houston,
wow,
to win that regional.
I share your confidence today against Purdue. I'm not sure I share it as much on Sunday. To me, all
right, well,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We still could get 1-1-1-1, right? All number one seeds could still make it there for the first time.
Definitely could. It could be a second time ever.
Yeah, first time since 2008. Second time ever. Thank you, Chris. Adam Burke with College Hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, I cannot stress this enough. Profit X. If you're betting on baseball, make sure you're getting the best odds with ProfitX. ProfitX is the first peer-to-peer sports exchange in the U.S. available in 40-plus states. That means you're betting against other fans, not the sports books, giving you, on average, 10 to 20% better odds. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today and use code VSIN. And honestly, if you are in a state that has this, one of those 40, and you're not using it, you're not doing it right. Code VSIN. That's what you need at ProfitX. Because honestly, and as I bring in our guest here, ladies and gentlemen, let's do his proper intro. It's time for Fezzik Fridays, everybody.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
That time is now. What's happening? Steve Fezzik, everybody. Only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. How you doing?
So I don't want to get ProfitX mad at me, but like when they say you save 10 to 20%, I got to talk to Joe Pita about this. You save 70 to 80% instead of laying minus 110.
Yeah.
You're laying like minus 102. That is, instead of paying $10 for a hamburger, you can pay $2. That's like 80%. I don't know where they got the 10 to 20%.
Well, it should be put in those terms, right? In the minus money, so people can understand it that much quicker.
Exactly. The vigorous you're paying.
That's right.
Is like reduced by 80%.
Okay. What I love, listen, you're, again, we always bust on you because nice person in real life, Meshuggah on Twitter, absolutely out of your mind.
Completely.
Reprehensible human being on Twitter.
WWF.
What I appreciate is that, like so many of our guests, you also listen to the show. And so you have things to say, both today's show and on previous shows. Today's show, you have a reaction. You love Adam Burke. You have a reaction to the sprinkle. You don't like sprinkling anymore.
I don't like these money lines. I know I go back and forth with Jeff Benson, and the reason is the bid versus the ask. So you bet Purdue plus 290, you bet Houston minus 350, and Jeff would come in and say, hey, your theoretical hold is really small here. It's beatable. And I would disagree, and I would say, yes, your theoretical hold is small, and it's absolutely not beatable. And the reason being, if you go to a Profit X and you look at what they're doing, I'm sure it's something along the lines of minus, 320 plus 310. I mean, it's such a small difference. To use an example, roulette, 38 numbers, it pays 35 to 1, okay? Imagine they offered a bet on roulette. You could bet no, a number won't come up at minus 4,000. So you can bet yes, 35 to 1, no, minus 4,000. Greatest game ever. Theoretical hold, like, below 1%. So obviously, roulette's a 5.26% game. Just by offering a no minus 4,000 doesn't magically make it a beatable game.
I love your, you're like, obviously it's a 5.26 game. Half the listeners are like, yeah, sure, Steve, obviously.
If you bet every number, you'd have to wager, yes. risk $38 and you would get back 35. So yeah. That's.
Okay. Crack and I were on yesterday, as we always are on Thursdays. Crack is Bill Krakenberger, of course, always kind enough to spend unscripted with Bill Krakenberger for an hour with us here on A Numbers Game. Just awesome. And you had a couple reactions, both comical and more serious. The comical one was, we were talking about, somehow we got in a conversation of jobs where people are way more drunk with power than they ought to be. And I use the example of the person in the passenger pickup area of an airport who believes they are the emperor of the universe.
There's
when they have
hundreds
you
of empty spots. It's a 20% capacity.
Keep looping.
But just in case there is like a hurricane or a tsunami that comes in, we need to keep the pathway open. You cannot stay in spot 18.
But that's my mother. She's walking over here. She's 80 years old. I see her right there. Moving around.
I'll tow you
around. All right, you had an example of that.
Yeah, so when you go golfing, it is your privilege to play their golf course and pay the $150. So it starts at the clubhouse and then the starter. And there's rules on my course. And you will not go onto the fairway on number 6, 9, or 12. Especially, think about this. The number one thing a golf course could do is, the first time you're playing it, have a welcoming environment and like, oh, we really appreciate your business. I have never gotten that from any golf course.
That's right. That's a good one as well. Okay, and the more serious thing we were talking about, we got into the whole discussion of dime lines in baseball, and specifically the disappearance of dime lines in baseball. And this got you thinking about other ways that you're getting gouged as a bettor these days.
I'm getting gouged everywhere. I go to Starbucks where I don't get gouged because it's free.
Here's the thing. My instant reaction is to say, well, then stop going to Starbucks. But I know how your brain works, man. Like, if something is free, you can't physically restrain yourself.
And so what happens is I get 4 free drinks and I get a $10 food comp for free. And the Starbucks at Caesars is next to the gym. So it's time is money. It's efficiency. It's like the closest spot. And so actually I found the chicken jalapeno pocket, 200 calories, very good. So I'm pleased with one food option finally. But it just what aggravates me is that if I was talk to the CEO of Starbucks, it's like, have one really good food option, fresh, that you make. Lastly, your Vegas used to do this, like with the shrimp cocktails, and brings everybody in to have a 99-cent shrimp cocktail, and it's so good, giving value, and the value is gone now in this town. Look at what's happening. Not just with the dime lines with baseball, they're disappearing, but you bet a Nerfy Yerfy. Oh, what's this? Yes, minus 115. No, minus 115. Circa does it right. Minus 110 in each direction. Team totals. They're dealing in minus 115. Live wagering, minus 117.
Props,
minus 120 each direction. These young kids are too stupid to know better. They think it's normal. It's like they think that's okay. It's not okay. Jimmy Vaccaro.
It's a combination of both ignorance and not caring either, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Jimmy Vaccaro.
No. But what Jimmy Vaccaro famously often would say, are you worried you're going to lose? And he's like, well, we got plus 110 in our favor, you know? So, I mean, we get to shade our lines based upon where the money's going to come in. And they're laying minus 110, so I'm getting plus 110. You don't need to make it plus 117.
Well, I think maybe you'll agree with this. I think the even more direct example is, We just had this thing at Virgin where there was no VIG for the 2 days.
Amazing.
Remember?
On sides, day of the game.
So we all won on Thursday, and we all gave some back, if not all of it, on Friday, if not more than back, right? And so that's just an example of, okay, here's no VIG, and it's hard enough to beat. So now imagine VIG is obviously built in, but then if the VIG is in a gouging phase, you're two levels beyond that now.
And no doubt. And you know what's interesting is that, and you talk about my persona on Twitter and the like, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of professional bettors that have this great relationship with all the bookmakers in town. Me, not so much. My friends, not so much, because inevitably you're going to get into situations where you're going to be beating those bookmakers. And this whole kumbaya, everybody going out to dinner thing, I just don't get it. It's like all the people I know that are really good bettors are like kind of hated by the bookmakers. Of course, they're not in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame because that's only for bookmakers.
All right, here he goes. Uh-oh. Here he goes on another one of his subjects. Okay, but bringing it back to is because we just did a ProfitX a promo, and that's an exchange. And by the way, you didn't even mention, I don't think, team totals and props and all the things you're getting gouged on as well.
But, -115,
but essentially,
right?
And we brought this up with Crackers, essentially what's going to happen is bettors are going to be wiser at some point and just be like, deuces, we're going on these exchanges. So the exchanges are like, here we are, right?
Not to mention a reduced juice price like Bet 105. It's like, hey, I like my shop. People are good people. They treat me right. I no real reason to change. You know what? I'm okay paying a little extra for gasoline, especially when they give me a free coffee when I go into that shop and I know everyone. But then when they're gouging me through the roof, you know what? All right, I'm going to the discount gas place, etc. And that's what's going to happen. They're sending us to other venues because they're gouging us.
This is another thing we talked about. It has nothing to do with this subject, but we were just talking about, and we've been talking about for the last couple of days, as has other shows. Baseball's ridiculous lack of scheduling and early windows the first 2 days of the season, and what a missed opportunity that is for them. Because why would you want eyeballs on your sport? All the games were scheduled late. Let's see how many we can have run into the Sweet 16. There's a whole other sport that starts today.
Yes, football is back. The USFL could be the greatest secret. A special investigative report here.
Numbers game investigation.
By ANG has indicated that there is going to be games, but no one cares. You know why? It just amazes me, Gil. How hard is it to just look at the entire schedule? And I get it. Something's always going on. But it's MLB opening week, and it's the Sweet 16. Why wouldn't you wait one more week to go ahead and launch your football? They just can't seem to get it right. And if you don't have a home run the first week, it's never going to get any traction.
I know you to be a guy who loves playing the Grand Salami. Did you play the Grand Salami opening day?
Yeah, I lost. So I played under 109.5 and 130 runs were scored. Now,
for those who don't know, again, new bettors, total runs scored on a given day in Major League Baseball by all the teams playing.
Yes. And what was eye-opening to me was it wasn't oftentimes you get train wrecked because there's like a 115-9 type of game. But that really didn't exist. It was across the board. There was a lot of high scoring games, a lot of bullpens blowing leads. Giant Magic against the Reds.
Magic, baby.
So I'm thinking to myself, hey, there's a lot of twilight games. It's hard to hit in twilight. You know, the funky hour start times, that should benefit the pitchers. And if the dominant pitchers, the number ones, didn't do so well, and we saw 130 runs, maybe that baseball's wound a little tighter this year. We'll see.
All it did was take you one day to sort of have this thought now that you're a little worried about.
Just a thought. Now, it hasn't. We're going to keep a close eye on it.
More with Fezzik on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.